Hello, and welcome to In the Limelight, Vanity Fair's entertainment and pop culture podcast. I'm Josh Duboff, Vanity Fair's senior writer, and I'm here with Julie Miller, Vanity Fair's senior Hollywood writer.
On In the Limelight, we analyze the ins and outs of pop culture, entertainment, and celebrity from the past week, from the Kardashians to Kate Middleton and everything in between.
On this week's episode, we are going to discuss, I love that this is written in here, a friend of the podcast, Ava Filippi, who Julie and I have witnessed in the flesh at an Emmys after party, and she has an exciting upcoming milestone that we are going to be discussing, and the one thing Oprah has not done since 1988. That was like my newscaster
the
tease.
Intrigue.
Everyone at home wondering what that is.
We will also discuss a few confessions from Gwyneth Paltrow's former personal chef.
I love that we're teasing this as if it's like the local news broadcast beginning. Also, we're really checking in with all of our old friends, Gwyneth and Ava, from our Emmys weekend. So I kind of like that. It's like it's like to be continued, like part two or whatever, you know,
right,
what I'm trying to
right.
say.
This makes a lot of sense. Should we start with Ava? I think we should start with her.
Yes. So I guess I was about to say for background, for those who don't know, but I feel like Ava is becoming more and more, I don't know, I feel people are becoming very aware, but she's Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe's 18-year-old daughter.
Yes. The internet like has gotten really creepy about it, as if we haven't, and said she looks exactly like Reese Witherspoon. I guess she's been confused with her mom at events, like photographers call out to her like, Reese, will you turn this way?
And we saw firsthand when we went to the HBO after party at the Emmys, just how much she looks like Reese, but also how like in the fold she was. Like Nicole and Laura Dern both had these like heart to heart conversations with her that seemed very intimate and as if they like were her dear friend as much as they were Reese's.
And she definitely holds herself with more poise than probably Josh and I have combined.
Yeah, at 18, she's already probably like this. I don't even know. I was about to say running a business, but she's not. But like she basically has that way of carrying herself in the same way that her mom does. But anyways, I was kind of surprised by this news. I don't know if you were. Do you want to explain what happened with her this week or what the news is?
There's this big Parisian debutante ball each year that invites daughters of notable families, which sounds like something from like a Jane Austen novel.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is still going on is, I guess, noteworthy. Anyway, Ava Filippi is going to be one of six American debutantes. Apparently, there are 20 total debutantes at the ball next month. And it's more, I guess, unlike other balls, all of the debutantes wear designer gowns.
Yeah. It's in Paris, right? And then
it's in Paris. And here are a few of the names of people who have done it in the past. Keira Kennedy.
Oh, right.
Larry David's daughter, Romy David. I feel like a Willis girl, like one of Bruce Willis's daughters did it. Billy Lord, Carrie Fisher's daughter did it. I don't know if that added any context.
No, but I think, I was about to ask you. So like, it's kind of funny to me that it's a rite of passage for prominent, notable figures, children, I guess it seems. Also, like, it looks like in this crew that's coming out this year with Ava, Lori Harvey, the stepdaughter of Steve Harvey. And
why are you laughing? Why doesn't she deserve a debutante close-up? Assortment of people. Another girl is Charlotte Bell, whose father, Bradley Bell, produces the soap opera The Bold and the Beautiful. And
I feel like she'd have good stories. I want to sit next to her at the debutante ball.
And whose mother, Colleen, is also a producer and was the U.S. ambassador to Hungary under President Obama.
Can we do like a Vanity Fair cover story on her? She sounds like she has the life, the soap opera dad and the ambassador mom. Like, I want like a ABC Family show about her.
Well, see, that's what I was saying. Why hasn't anyone made a documentary about these girls going to Paris, dressing up in these like princess gowns? It does sound like something out of a Disney movie. It looks like Ava already has her escort, and now this is where it gets a little cloudy for me, as if everything else in the story made perfect sense.
Yeah.
Her escort is an Indian royal. The Guardian did a story on him and his family in 2011. In 2011, he was 13 and he inherited the title of first amongst the Rajas of India. But there's controversy with his family over this 400 million pound fortune.
Well, okay. So my thing is like, I had the exact same question you did. Does Ava pick him? Because if she doesn't, it's really weird and like arranged. Like, I don't know. Just it's something feels odd about it if they like assign you your escort. This doesn't seem very Reese to me, this whole thing.
Right. But it doesn't seem very as if I know Ava. But for those who haven't seen on Instagram, she has a public Instagram feed, and she seems like very artsy, a little bohemian.
This morning, knowing we were going to be talking about her, I looked up her Instagram because somehow I didn't follow her, so I rectified that immediately. But then I just noticed all these like, yeah, it's all very whimsical and low-key and sort of like sunsets and like kind of like, I don't know, she seems to be cool. Like she doesn't, you know, the way like Brooklyn Beckham is going to Parsons, like I would have imagined her doing something in that trajectory. This feels like a whole different thing.
There is a philanthropic element to it. I think each year the whole ball benefits a different cause. So
is Reese going to go to also like escort, like see her at this thing? Or is that not how that works?
Well, right. And is Nicole Kidman going to send a bouquet and like upstage everybody else?
I would love it if Nicole just kind of like drops by to say hi to Ava, like doesn't give Reese the heads up. And then somehow this all spins into like Nicole centric headlines, like Nicole and Ava taking the town in Paris.
You know, somehow if there's anyone who could do that, if there's anyone who could upstage Reese from like 3,000 miles away, it's Nicole.
But also I love this quote you included here, which I had never seen before, which says, "While Ava maintains a rather normal life, mostly out of the spotlight, blah, 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 she has sparked attention for looking like a twin to her movie star mom. People come up to her..." "People came up to Ava all the time. We were at a premiere and they were congratulating her on her performance. She's like, 'I'm not in the movie.'" Like, Reese's deadpan there in full effect. But I'm curious to see, I've been interested to see if Ava was going to get into acting, if Ava was going to try to do modeling, if she was going to go a whole different route. I guess this doesn't really give us much of a sense in any direction, but I don't know. I'm interested to see if she's going to go to college, like what this all means.
Well, I'm so intrigued by this ball. So I did some Google searching, and back in 2013, Teen Vogue did this long feature. I guess I should mention that I think every year Vanity Fair does a portrait of the debutantes in the front of the magazine.
So we're going to have Ava in our magazine?
I mean, fingers crossed. Anyway, Teen Vogue did this big feature and they interviewed all of the debutantes, but it must have been over email because it looks like all of these girls had their parents or like a paid essayist respond. But this girl, Juliana Canfield, 21, Teen Vogue asked, "How do you describe the experience?" And she said, "It felt like a luxurious marathon. I didn't expect to be so exhausted by the whole weekend. Between hair and makeup and photo shoots and waltz rehearsals and the ball itself, we had these windows of downtime. We would all sit in our robes with our hair in these ridiculous curlers and get to know one another."
So it's like it's almost like a pageant vibe or something. I mean, they're not competing, but it seems like that, right?
No. Yeah, I still don't really get it. And they asked her, I love that they asked her, "Why did you even want to participate in this?" The question was, why did you participate in the
ball? What did she say?
She said, "I remember reading the feature on the ball in Vanity Fair when I was 10 or 11.
And girl pasted that on her wall, on her vision board, and the rest is history. Talk about like converting dreams into reality.
At the time, fairy tales and novels about princesses comprised the bulk of my reading list, and the ball was a contemporary reincarnation of those stories." Like, girl, a large part of me still must be drawn to the ball gowns and sparkles.
I also, because we were talking about Kyra Kennedy, because I remembered writing, or not writing about it, but seeing something about it. And there's this like photo of her making her debut in the 2013 version. And it says she's the 18-year-old aspiring fashion designer, looked radiant in blue Christian Dior dress. And then she said, "It's my first time wearing couture, so that's definitely not how you pronounce that. So that's really exciting. And I'm obsessed by the color." but then she posed with her dad and Cheryl Hines of Curb Your Enthusiasm because she was dating or married, girlfriend of Robert F. Kennedy, I guess, at the time. So that implies Reese will be there escorting her. That was my research to figure that out.
Oh my gosh. And I assume Ryan will be there, and I assume he can't wear like a beanie.
Well, also he has what's it called? The like doesn't he have that leg injury, so he's like on a crutch right now.
Oh yes. Well, I'm excited for this because it seems like it's her official coming out into, I don't know.
Well, and then I was talking to Kelly about this yesterday, our colleague, and she was saying this is like a very, like, debutante balls are a very, like, Southern tradition sort of thing.
Oh, so that makes sense for Reese.
Yeah, Southern. But this seems like this seems like a whole different beast, like in Paris, and it's much more, I have no idea.
Maybe Nicole suggested it. I can see, like, Nicole Kidman.
Oh, maybe Ava pulled one of those moves you make when you're, like, 17 or 18, where you're like, Mom, well, Nicole said, and then, like, you look. And then the mom looks really bad and annoying if she doesn't go along with it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I'm really excited now, though, knowing that we're going to get, like, these, like, Reese kind of, like, escorting Ava to the ball photos.
Right. How will Ryan Phillippe waltz with Ava with his leg injury? Because I guess they all waltz with their dads.
Oh, really? That's part of this? This is so crazy. I think we need to fly to Paris for this, Julie. That's the only answer. I'm going to have to make a quick return.
We're going to be the documentary crew interviewing everyone.
Yeah. I'm excited for Ava's, like, move into the adult world. I'm curious what she's going to, like, take on in terms of projects and her career. Anyways, yeah, we'll be following closely. So now, I guess we can... this is a great transition from Reese to her future co-star / friend, Oprah.
Wow, how about that? A wrinkle in time.
Yeah, and I just saw, I might have this wrong, that Oprah follows no one on Instagram other than Reese Witherspoon. I may have that wrong. I'm going to look right now to double check.
You can't throw out
Oprah's one Instagram follower. I can't throw out such, like, intense, high profile information. Yeah, well, let's see. Hold on. There was, like, some bit about this, how, like, Oprah didn't follow anyone. Why is Oprah doing so much press right now? Because of Wrinkle in Time?
She's promoting, I think her new, she has some new food line.
Oh.
Wait, I'm going to get the details on this.
Well, that's...
Oprah has a new line of microwavable foods, and we tried them all from BuzzFeed.
It sounds like a kind of article I would have done back in the day. What?
Like, what are these microwavable... Do people still use microwaves?
I take it back. Important update. Oprah still follows zero. I thought... that's kind of like... That's Beyonce, too. Beyonce and Oprah, they don't follow anyone. It's really... That's how you know you're, you know, a legend.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at these packages of food. It's Oprah. It just says, oh, like her big branded O. And then underneath it, that's good.
I guess when you're Oprah, you don't need to put that much effort into the slogan. It's just the O is supposed to carry the whole thing.
It's a collaboration with Kraft Heinz and is dubbed a nutritious twist on comfort food classics. I'm looking at the creamy Parmesan pasta.
Wait, that actually sounds kind of good.
What else is there?
I'm not gonna pretend I'm above that. Wait, Kraft? Also, I mean, what? So Kraft is sponsoring a health food line with Oprah? And also another similarity with Beyonce, because Beyonce had that health food line that I did try and write about.
Was that any good? I feel like it wasn't, because it's kind of disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yeah, and that was all very, like, plant-based. It was definitely not, like, feel-good comfort food. Anyway, so wait, what? Okay, so Oprah went on Ellen. Is that what's going on here? Yes.
She went to promote these microwavable comfort foods.
Which, like, why is Oprah bothering with this? But okay, I'm just going to let that slide. Like, why is she, like, she really need, I guess maybe she's going to, you know, help.
I'm sure a large percentage goes to charity. What were you going to say?
No, that's true, I guess. I don't know. I guess, but I was about to say she's, you know, the doing the full sort of, like, Gwyneth is going to get into meal preparation too. I feel like it's very in to do prepared meals these days.
Right. But I love that Oprah, like, still keeps it real. Like, she's the garlic, cheese, mashed potatoes. Like, she's not trying to do Gwyneth's, like, macrobiota.
Right. It's not going to be, like, whatever. A tree branch, like, covered in, like, a mushrooms or something.
So, Oprah went on Ellen's talk show, and they played some game called Burning Questions. And Ellen asked her all these, like, silly questions. I don't know. One of them was, what's your ATM PIN number?
That's so, well, okay, sorry. I'm just like thinking about how that's like a stupid thing to ask Oprah.
Well, of course it was, but then Oprah took it somewhere amazing. I don't have one, she said. I went to the bank recently because I hadn't been to the bank since 1988.
Oh, God. So she, for us, a few things. I love that she like remembers that day just off the top of her head. Like, well, this
right.
Is...
Does she have a journal? Did she write, like, this is the last time I'm stepping into a bank? Like, how is she so specific? What happened right after she went to the bank that she remembers that date so clearly?
So she went to the bank recently because she hadn't. I'm also just sort of like wondering what. I guess, when's the last time you went? I feel like people don't go to the bank now because they can do everything online banking, but I feel like Oprah doesn't even do that.
But I can also see her just like, you know, she has like a lazy afternoon with Stedman. She's like, what should I do? I want to do something fun, exciting. I don't know. And maybe to her, going to the bank.
Well, like it's one of those things too where like celebrities lose all, they're not able to go out into the world and, you know, go grocery shopping. So they crave that sort of sense of.
Right. Yeah. That's like their thrill.
Yeah.
So it's been 30 years almost. So she told Ellen. She went to her local bank branch, stood in line to deposit a check for a cool $1 million. Ellen said, how did that feel? Oprah said, it felt fantastic. And then she said, actually, it was $2
million. I mean, I don't even know what to say here. It's like, I mean, this is, so I guess she's kind of moved. It's funny to have the, on one hand, you're doing your feel good comfort foods to relate to the common man, and then your anecdote when you do your, like, you know, daytime talk show appearance is about, oh no, not even just the $1 million check, I needed to like upgrade that to $2 million to get it the facts completely right. Like, what? Also, like, do you even believe this actually happened? She was trying to deposit a $2 million check.
I know. Can you deposit $2 million? Like, don't they have to bring everybody from the bank out to like inspect that check?
Yeah, that seems like wild. And also, like, it's just as an anecdote. It's funny. I guess I kind of respect it, honestly. But to go in the opposite direction, I feel like people go on these shows to try to seem, you know, as normal as possible, and then it's funny to go on and be like, I have no semblance of what the real world is like.
It's interesting because I feel like if it was anyone other than Oprah, like if it was Gwyneth, people would want her head on a stake.
It's so true. Or like Anne Hathaway was, even if Anne Hathaway was like, I tried to deposit a $20 bill, everyone would be like, how dare she think that like she has that much money or something. I think it's so true. Oprah's brand is such that she can kind of do whatever and people think it's wonderful because it usually is. But I know this is a weird one to me. I'm curious if this was, you know, sometimes when you hear about people going on talk shows, their publicists or handlers like get, I don't know, everything worked out in advance so that the celebrity
knows. Right, there was
knows.
Definitely like a pre-interview yeah. here.
So I'm curious if like Oprah was like really wanting to tell this story or if it just kind of slipped out when Ellen went to the weird PIN number question.
Right, maybe Oprah kind of freaked out, like she realized that was such a bad question. No, she definitely didn't.
Yeah, well, have you ever done that sometimes when you're like at dinner or drinks with someone and
you and I do that all the time. We spaz out and then say way too much.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like all of a sudden you're like, wait, I'd like no one was even asking about this. And I just went on this like 7-minute detour to explain this like dark memory from like 9th grade. Like, and then they were just staring at you. So maybe
just
this is like
monologue.
Yeah. So maybe this is like the Oprah version of that where all of a sudden she's like, wait, why am I telling Ellen about this weird sort of run-in I had at the bank? Also, why now? Like, why was she like, this is the check I have to deposit? Was it for something really special? Was it related to the meal plans? Was she going to tie it back to that and wasn't able to? I don't know.
No, it just doesn't make a lot of sense while promoting these affordable comfort food meal plans that run for $4.99, like in your local grocery store. When was the last time she was at a grocery store?
I feel like
she know where the freezer aisle is.
I feel like the story needed like a final beat where it was like, and then I looked at the check and it was actually like a royalty for when I did a little guest spot on a TV show, and it was for $2. not that clunky. God, that was like my worst imagined scenario ever. But like, I don't know, something like, I think it needed that final beat to take it back.
That would have been nice. That would have been really nice. When we read these scenarios, these weird celebrity in the real world scenarios, I always love imagining Josh put in here. It's like, so I'm picturing like a bank, but it's like a Being John Malkovich situation where Josh is the bank teller, but also he's like the person behind Oprah in line and the person like writing out the check in the corner. Like, how would you...
Like how smirking would you... and like gleefully texting kind of to like 8 people while it's happening.
Yes. How would you have responded if Oprah came up to your teller?
I'd be like, which other accounts do you want me to open up into yours? I'd be like, I feel like I'd end up somehow like giving her money, like from my own. Like I would just be like so nervous about the whole scenario and like doing things properly that I would be like, actually, just to make sure you're fine, like, you know, why don't you just take this bond I have lying around? I mean, I can't really imagine.
Oh my gosh, you bond laying around.
Does she not have her own private bank? I mean, I just don't really know. I don't know enough. I feel like not enough has been written about celebrity banking. Probably isn't that interesting. But I feel like
I can't wait for your expose on
where the money happens. God, I'm really coming up with the clunkiest scenarios. Wait, we need to end with this little kicker though. The advice, I guess, she told Ellen that she'd give her 21-year-old self, which like, since we're both 21, I think we should take this advice too.
Yeah.
It says, relax, girl, you're gonna be all right. Do you like that? It's no bad energy.
It's no bad energy, but I'm gonna try to use that today. Let's try to use that today as our mantra.
Relax, girl. You're going to be all right. I feel like that needed a little more. I wanted more even specificity there. Gosh, we're really hard on Oprah. I feel like we're just, we want to, you know, because we love her, we want a lot from her. I feel like that's where it comes from.
Right. Are you going to try these meals now?
Sure. Should we do it together and then report back for the podcast? Or is this going to be one of these things, like last week when we were talking about side note, we were talking about my Kylie Minogue head turn and someone commented.
Which we still have to social that.
I know. Someone commented on our Instagram yesterday. I came here looking for Josh's paparazzi Kylie Minogue video. Could not find it.
I have to say that video was even better than Build, because I kind of thought you would be really far away, but Josh was really sitting like right by the door. So Kylie walks right past him. He's pretty close up.
Yeah, I'm right there. All right. So now that we've teased it again, we have to post it. Or what if we just every week talk about how it's this great video and never share it? If you guys find it yourselves and send it to us, we'll be very impressed.
No, we're gonna post it. Yeah. We can't
do this forever. I wonder if it doesn't. I haven't checked back to see like how many views or YouTube comments it has. Feel free to comment on it. Let YouTube know how you feel about the true star of the video, not the Australian pop singer, but the weirdo doing a head flip to follow her into the restaurant. Wow! And Julie, all of our topics today are so connected. Because now is going to be about food also, and I guess, lifestyle-y type celebrity figures.
Right, from one media empress to...
Wow, another. Putting Gwyneth on the same level as Oprah. Yeah, so Julie found this great interview that I read through this morning and was kind of, I feel like... I don't know if this is just because I also recently read about the Queen's former personal chef, but I feel like former personal chefs love giving interviews. That's my generalization here. Because at least two separate former personal chefs have given like dishy interviews recently about their clients.
But I was surprised though they didn't have to sign any sort of confidentiality.
Yeah, agreed.
But so they're Gwyneth's former personal chef, Kate McCallum, is that how you'd pronounce it?
No Kate relation McCallum. To Kate McKinnon. Ugh, I feel like I'm doing like dad jokes left and right today. All right.
So she gave an interview. I think she has a new cookbook out. So obviously she wasn't asked about the cookbook. She was asked about all the stuff.
Oh, so that's why
for.
She was doing. Yeah, okay.
Right. So she said, when I first started cooking for Gwyneth and Chris Martin, it was when she was doing the first Iron Man movie in 2008. Mm. I had a brief from their assistants. They eat nothing. They are very strict. They avoided any sugars, anything sweet, no dairy, just more vegetables, which I feel like you and I would have assumed that she eats nothing, but it's weirdly like gratifying to hear it from...
So I like this idea that the assistants had to put together a brief for the chef, and it just said, like good luck. Like, they don't eat anything. They don't right. eat a thing. Like, did Gwyneth approve this brief? Like, where... I feel like I want to know the chain here of how this document got created.
Kate goes on to reveal that while their diet was very strict, as she got her feet under the table, she slowly introduced ingredients to jazz up their dinners. And the A-list pair were impressed. Her quote, when I got there, I was trying to stick to the brief, and I realized as I started adding more ingredients in, they said, your food is getting better, Kate revealed. That's what happens when you eat more than grass.
Oh, God. So she was kind of throwing shade, I feel.
Well, I feel like Gwyneth and Chris were kind of throwing shade by saying, like,
your meals are getting better. Wait, right. Also, I like that page 6, I just searched, and page 6 covered this with, even Gwyneth Paltrow couldn't stick to a grass-only diet. but I guess it's kind of endearing that...
You're really stretching. You're really looking for... Sympathetic
no, note. I was going to say endearing that the chef was kind of admitting that Gwyneth and Chris were not exactly thrilled with her diet. But then I heard her meals. But I feel like she was then trying to act like she knew better, because when she added in the ingredients, they liked it. So I guess she's kind of like, you know, praising herself in the end. Also, I thought this was weird. Did you see she talked about Courtney Cox's dinners? I guess she also worked for Courtney Cox. And then I thought this was such a weird anecdote, because she said, like, I guess this is when she was married to David, Courtney Cox was married to David Arquette. And it said they used to have a lot of people over every Sunday. Sometimes it could be 15. Sometimes it was 50. Like, thank you for these details. Then there was the one time I grabbed the olive oil instead of the tequila to put in Courtney's margaritas. But otherwise, things were pretty good.
Like, personal chef / bartender.
Yeah, but also, like, did she actually, like, spike the drinks with olive oil? Like, how far did that go? And, like, I feel like Courtney Cox did not appreciate that.
Josh really needed a conclusion.
I want to interview Courtney Cox on a red carpet only to find that out. if you're a publicist out there representing Courtney, let me know.
I guess she also cooked for Orlando Bloom and Miranda Kerr. She said, Miranda's great. She walks the talk. She really does eat like she says she does, which I feel like...
I feel like she's constantly finding these ways to, like, kind of jab at all these people.
I met Miranda when she was with Orlando. They both love my curries, light chicken, or vegetarian curries with coconut, as well as quinoa, salmon, and vegetables. I do a chicken salad with a lot of fresh herbs and chia puddings for breakfast. She tries not to eat anything with chemicals, no rice, just the lower GI carbs. But she has the 80-20 rule that she sticks to.
What is the 80-20 rule?
So eating healthily 80% of the time and having a treat the other 20% of the time. Josh, what's our rule? Like 20-80?
having a treat 20% of the time. So that means, I don't even understand that. So like one out of every 5 meals she has is like treat based. That seems way higher than I would think Miranda Kerr actually adheres to.
Also, you're not allowed to say someone's the real deal who, like, has, I don't know.
I know. We
incorporates a note on lower GI carbs in their menu plan.
I love that we're on the 2080. Miranda's on the 80-20. We're on the 2080. Wait, also I want to share, because now that we're on this topic of former chefs spilling, this thing about the queen... Which I think is so strange, which is Darren McGrady. He was the Queen's chef for 11 years. And he said, he was like giving some interview, probably also has a cookbook coming out. I'm just assuming that you can look for yourself. He said, breakfast for the queen was very simple. Some Kellogg's cereal from a plastic container, which she'd serve herself, and some Darjeeling tea. I know. He's basically explaining or implying that she ate store-bought Kellogg cereal out of a Tupperware.
So and what then, did he even do?
Also, good point. Like, you're a chef trying to sell, I have no idea if he's trying to sell a cookbook, but for whatever you're doing, it's kind of funny to acknowledge she was pouring store-bought cereal into a Tupperware. And then he goes on to explain that she had, like, a favorite Tupperware, a plastic yellow Tupperware container.
This is so dark. I don't want to hear that the queen, like, knows what Tupperware is.
And she loves dark chocolate, just like us. And I don't know why I'm bringing us into this, but can't stand garlic. She hates the smell as well as the taste.
Interesting. Did he give any more details? Now I'm intrigued.
He said he knew he had to kind of hit the oil well, or whatever you call it, for the headlines here, because he also shared that Princess Diana used to take William and Harry to take them to fast food. So he says, I remember the princess came into the kitchen one day and said, cancel lunch for the boys, I'm taking them out, we're going to McDonald's.
Wow, how she could have just stopped it, I'm taking them out, but
so also, it really sounds like he had the easiest job of any chef, because or was the worst cook ever, but they were all too nice to say anything, because Diana's taking William and Harry to McDonald's. The queen is like, get me more Kellogg's so I can like eat dark chocolate. She's like, no more of your garlic encrusted salmon, which like made me want to like kill myself. She just wants that dark chocolate and cereal. So he's basically like not setting his own. Also, I like the queen's diet. I wrote this in something I wrote, I think, when I wrote this up for VF, but it's like almost like a college student or something, because you remember this is the same former royal chef who gave the interview about how she has 4 alcoholic drinks a day. So right. So now basically he's explained that she has 4 drinks a day and like mainline cereal. So I kind of feel like the queen's eating. I know.
She's eating like a college freshman.
Yeah.
I love this. I love your theory that he's just the worst cook in the world.
Yeah. I think it's a very interesting, just like this strain of royal chef kind of spilling. I really like. I want more. Anyway, yeah, I feel like I'm curious always to see. I'd like be interested who makes like Nicole Kidman meals. I'm like dying to know what she. I feel like she has like ice water with like.
Right.
I can't even imagine. Like, I feel like there's so many other celebrities. Which celebrity would you be most interested to see what their like daily sort of like meal plan is?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I'm thinking, who's yours? I would want to see Nicole Kidman, but I feel like she's something like a Gwyneth. Like, she doesn't eat anything.
Kate would be interesting to me, actually. Middleton. I feel like I don't really... I mean, it's probably not that exciting. It's like toast.
George. George would be...
Prince George's, like, diet guide. Yeah, I would follow that in a minute. I'd love to just eat exactly what Prince George eats in a week. I feel like I'd be much happier.
You know who I'd like to know? Leonardo DiCaprio, because I feel like he just eats, like, Cheetos. Like,
yeah, I feel like it's, like, pad thai takeout, like, a random, like, box of saltines at, like, 4 p.m.
Just... I feel like he does his grocery shopping at, like, one of those gas station mini-marts.
Yeah, like, beef jerky. And I feel like it's at odd hours and just kind of like not even properly like... And I feel like if you actually did serve him a really nice meal, he'd eat like the French fries, you know? All right. Let us know who... I'm curious who other people... I don't know. Is this food topic weird? I think people are interested.
I love it.
I think that is it for this week's episode of In the Limelight. Let us know. I wanted... let us know what you think Leonardo DiCaprio eats in a day. I feel like this is a fun...
Please.
I feel like that's a fun topic for lots of jokes. Thank you so much for listening. And please rate, review us on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. Helps us find new listeners. And we love to hear what you think.
Also, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at In The Limelight to further discuss these subjects. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Julie W. Miller.
I'm Jay Duboff. We also are on Instagram, In The Limelight Pod. We promise to finally post this now way too hyped video of me turning my head in the presence of Kylie Minogue somewhere, either on the Instagram or the Twitter. So check both if you don't already. This episode was produced and edited by the magnificent Jordan Bell. Thanks to Andy Bowers of Panoply. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week. And until then, wait, what did Oprah say? Relax, girl. You're going to be all right.